You're listening to SBS News.
The Federal Coalition and Labor have agreed to ensure submissions made to the Parliament Workplace Culture Review by Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins will remain confidential. The Jenkins Review will not be accessed or released under Freedom of Information or the Archives Act. It was triggered after former Liberal staffer Brittany Higgins alleged she was raped by a colleague in Parliament House in 2019. A bipartisan group of almost 100 current and former staffers wrote a letter expressing their concerns to Prime Minister Scott Morrison and opposition leader Anthony Albanese. Mr. Morrison says he hopes this agreement will encourage people to tell the stories of their experiences.
I certainly hope it does. That's what we've agreed as an opposition and as a government. We agree that is a measure that should hopefully provide that comfort and provide that security for people to do that.
It comes after a federal government staffer resigned after being accused of verbally abusing a senior female politician. Tasmanian Greens leader Cassie O'Connor used parliamentary privilege to accuse the man of yelling a vile insult at her during a press conference in 2019. He was later employed by Assistant Treasurer Michael Suka and was asked to resign after the allegations were raised. Liberal Minister Jane Hume says it reflects a significant change.
I think we've seen a genuine shift in the culture in this building, particularly in the last few weeks, that women are now finding their voices and stepping up and saying, no, this behaviour is not okay, it's not acceptable, and we won't put up with it any longer.
Independent MP Zali Steggall is seeking support for an amendment to the Sex Discrimination Act, which would make MPs accountable for workplace sexual harassment breaches. Ms. Steggall has invited a contribution from departing Liberal MP Nicole Flint, who has revealed the harassment she endured over the course of her political career.
I think it's very important that both sides of politics come to the party to pass this important amendment to ensure we do have a safe workplace here. And I do really invite her to engage with me on the sex discrimination amendment, which is trying to do that very thing.
Ms. Flint addressed the Federation Chamber, highlighting abuse she has suffered in the last 48 hours since her tearful speech.
I have tried not to cry during my speeches and during the TV and radio interviews I've done, and at times I've failed, and I'll probably fail now. As a woman, I get angry at myself for doing this. I'm tired of the political fight. I'm tired of pretending to be brave. I'm tired of having to defend the fact I'm a woman. And yet here I am having to fight and defend myself again. The online abuse, trolling, victim shaming and blaming, the complete denial of things I have suffered during my time in Parliament that has been aimed at me over the past 48 hours is disgusting. I've had women on Twitter who claim to be against violence against women tweeting that I'm playing the gender card.
Right after Ms. Flint's contribution, fellow MPs of several parties hugged her, and Labor's industry spokesman Ed Husic offered support.
I wanted to just say to the member for Boothby that while we may be political combatants, Our democracy is strengthened by being able to challenge ideas in a way that did not resort to what we have had to see experienced in this place. And certainly as someone who's experienced it in their own way as a result of their own faith, I do appreciate that this is a completely unacceptable standard that we must do better, we must strive for better.
There has been mixed reaction to a speech made by the head of Australia's domestic spy agency. Delivering his annual threat assessment, Director General of Security ASIO, Mike Burgess, says the monitoring agency has discovered and successfully removed a significant number of foreign spies from Australia over the past 12 months. He also confirmed the agency will be changing the way it refers to violent extremist threats, no longer using terms like Islamic or right-wing extremism.
Put simply, the current labels are no longer fit for purpose. They no longer adequately describe the phenomenon we are seeing. As an example, thinking about the proliferation of violent groups ascribed to various political ideologies, it's unhelpful to characterise groups such as simply extreme left-wing or extreme right-wing. ASIO does not investigate people solely for their political beliefs. So labels like left and right often distract from the real nature of the threat.
Green Senator Dr. Maureen Fruki has released a statement questioning this decision.
The people who benefit most from a failure to name far-right extremists are far-right extremists themselves. ASIO backing away from calling a spade will harm our efforts to confront the existential threat of far-right violence. ASIO were happy to label extremists Islamic when it suited the Liberals' desire to demonise a whole community. To counter the far right, we have to name the far right.
Professor of Global Islamic Politics from Deakin University, Greg Barton, says ASIO is simply realigning itself with Five Eyes partners, the United States, Canada and the United Kingdom, in terms of language use.
We can't blame the Muslim community for what Islamic State is doing online trying to recruit kids. He's absolutely right. And I think it's long past time when we should be much more cautious about talking about Islamist terrorism. If they're burning a cross and yelling Ku Klux Klan and then raising their right arm and saying Hail Hitler, you've got to say this is neo-Nazi activity.
Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.